love that thing. Men especially tend to collect tools and things made to fix stuff. Am I right? I am not a fix-it man, but I have a little portable thing that I carry in my pocket sometimes. It's called a Leatherman. Some of you men have a Leatherman way bigger than this. This can do more things than you might imagine. It has knives, and screwdrivers, and scissors, and tweezers, and a bottle opener, and actually a ruler on this side to measure rather small fish you've caught. There are larger versions of these that people have attached in a holder to their belt, but this is a portable one to carry to church in case something happens while you're preaching, let's say. I've actually owned this for about 23 years. It's a gift to me from my father, and reminds me that there are a lot of things from day to day that might need a solution or fix it, and you don't need to call someone or get out a toolbox. If you're thinking to yourself in the midst of this season, what is Christmas really for? Why do we celebrate? Yes, okay, even if you believe this story that a baby came, that he was destined to be the solution, the king of the world, why celebrate something that happened 2 millennia ago? It's a solution. God is like you if you're a problem solver. He sees a problem and says, that can be taken care of, and I'm going to deal with it. There are different kinds of problems in our world. There are problems that can always be solved. If you're doing laundry and there's a stain in your children's clothing or your husband's, I don't know why this is, but when God made the human race, women apparently never stain their own clothing, but their children and husbands do. And there's a product that can always get that out. There are problems that can be solved frequently. There are problems that can be solved rarely, or with much difficulty, or with patience, or a lot of prayer, or perhaps even a little bit of luck. But in human history, I think we know this innately in our hearts, but the Bible teaches us, in case we're a bit dull, there is one problem that no person can ever solve, has ever solved, will ever be able to solve. And that's a chasm between us, the human race that God created, and God himself. God did not create the chasm, the distance. Sin is what it's called. That was created by us, a rebellious human race that he created. You're inundated in an advertising type of world by solutions to problems, or what people propose to you will solve things. A new job. A new house. You should move. You should renovate your house. A new car. Mechanics, of course, know that cars don't really solve anything. A vacation. You need a financial advisor. You need to cheer for the right team. You should take this pill. You should take this course. You need to take this class. If you only had this degree, you should try this religion. Have you tried meditation? Did you know yoga will? It's kind of a long list, isn't it? These are solutions to problems, perhaps, but none of them treat this little word which represents a large problem, sin. God's solution, intriguingly, is not a thing. It's not a course. It's not an update or a renovation or an extreme makeover. Scripture, whether you study the Old or New Testament, tells that God's solution is always a person. And especially this person, Jesus, his son. And John is saying in chapter 1 of his gospel, God wanted the world to be ready to receive when Messiah Jesus came. The true light was coming, enough light to light the path of every person, every human ever. And God was not sneaking up. Maybe you do this sometimes with children, to sneak up behind them and say, aha. But that's not what God was doing with Messiah. The readings we do at Advent are saying, for thousands of years, God was saying to people, this is what Messiah is going to look like. You need to be patient. You need to wait. You need to get your hearts right. And John said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He's coming. It's almost time. The children sang, hark, the herald angels sing. Herald means an announcer. These angels were announcing good news. And John says it this way, there was a man sent from God. His name was John. Now, John is the author, one of the apostles who's writing this gospel. But he's speaking about John, who came just a little before Jesus, was born just before him, a few months, and who had as a calling from God to tell people the time is coming. We call him sometimes John the Baptist or John the Baptizer. His story is not in John chapter 1. It's in Luke chapter 1, before the story of the birth of Jesus to Mary. John was not the Savior. He was not the promised one. He said that himself. He just came to point the way. He came for a reason, and that reason was what? To witness, to say that Jesus is coming. For what purpose? It says so that all people through him would believe, not through him John, through him Jesus. That's in verse 7. Do you struggle sometimes with this idea? I wonder, what is my purpose in life? Perhaps you don't ask philosophical questions or existential ones, but some of us at moments of doubt think, in all this vast world that we live in, why me? Why me, Tim? Why did God put me in the South Metro of the Twin Cities in the year 2019? If there's really a larger reason, people talk today about intelligent design, meaning this whole thing didn't just happen as a result of a cosmic explosion. It didn't all just ooze out of a swamp. Somebody started this rolling. And if you believe in that idea, it's easy to ask, then if God made everything for a reason and he creates us, what is the answer to me? What does he intend for me to do? And here's the first part of the answer. It's not the whole answer for your life, but here's the answer in verse 7. So that through him, Jesus, all people will believe. So for whatever else you think is your purpose in life, here's something that's very clear that God wants you to do. He wants you to believe in his son, Jesus. Now, you don't have to do that. If your boss says, you have to do this, if you want to keep that job, you do know you have to do it. If your spouse says, if your parent says, you can think of a number of people in your life who say a thing and it's that not that optional for you. God says you need to believe in my son Jesus, Messiah the Savior. But you have a free will and you don't have to do that. It's your choice. But don't say, well, there's no solution, there's no answer to my sin problem. You can say, well, the answer that God sent doesn't, I'm an adult, I think, I ponder things. How's a baby really going to answer that? In fact, doesn't it create more work? Don't babies need a lot of care? Indeed. But Jesus, this is the old 2,000-year-old story. Jesus is not today a baby in a manger. So don't say there's no solution. And don't say, well, I'm just not sure what I should do. You should start here. Believe. Does this story seem believable? John uses the word recognize in verse 10. The world which was made through him, God the Creator, did not recognize him. Have you thought someday this week, I recognize that. I think I recognize that person. You think you're lost driving around town and think, I recognize this place where I am. I recognize that word, that phrase, that thing, that song when the Christmas music starts to inundate the airwaves. We think, I recognize that. It's quite a thought that Jesus, who came and lived among us, who left God's throne and came to live on earth, for 33 years of his life, in nature around him never saw one thing ever that he didn't recognize. Everything he saw, he had made. He saw it come into being. He made it come into being. And though he was here in the world he created, John says people didn't recognize him. He sent the prophets for millennia to say, here's the signals. He sent John right beforehand to say, he's coming. And John was baptizing one day in the river, and the Spirit came in the form of a dove on Jesus, and John said, that's the one. It's him. This is what God said to me, the one on whom you see the dove descending. It's the Messiah. It's him. But people chose not to recognize. Now, it's easy to read the scriptures and say, well, tisk, tisk. Shouldn't they have known? That's not the purpose of reading the Bible, to condemn those who didn't recognize. And of course, the New Testament tells us a few did. Some people did. Here's why we relive and retell this story. Because it's our story. Still today. The same good news. The same Jesus. It's the same human problem. As people were sinners 2,000 years ago, we are as well in need of forgiveness. God seemed to recognize that we have barriers to belief, don't we? Well, how can I know if I haven't seen? How can I be sure? You're telling me that. And so this seems like a big stretch for our belief, doesn't it? An unseen God who we don't have a picture of. There's no video of God the Father. And so, the incarnation. He came to live among us. He cried. He felt pain. He felt emotion. He felt hunger. He felt tired. He lived as we live and could be believed in. So John says, the disciple says of John the Baptist, there was a man who came. But he quickly moves on in the story. There is a man. John the Baptist is not here. You haven't seen him. He died a rather tragic death. And Jesus, who he came to announce, also died, but rose again to life. So at Christmas, we don't see there was a man, but we announce this good news. There is still a man, the Savior, Jesus. The angel said about the choice of name. Parents who are waiting the birth of a child, I think, always have this long-term discussion, don't they? Do you like this name? If it's a girl, if it's a boy, do we? There are books published about names of children to help indecisive parents. We went through that process 3 times, and the books don't really help. They actually present so many options that it just confuses you more. We don't know if Mary and Joseph were having this discussion. But we know that the angel said, you shall call his name Jesus. And what was the reason? For he will save the people from their sins. He would save all people from their sins. No, the scripture says, those who choose to believe the story, to believe in Jesus, they will receive salvation from their sins. John the Baptist was sent from God. Jesus, Messiah, was not sent. The scripture says he came willingly. Not came willingly from God, but came and was and is God, the Savior. The message has the same word, way, but it's very different. John the Baptist said, prepare the way. And Jesus said, what about the way? I am the way. I am the Savior. This Christmas, this question begs to be answered. Is He your Savior? Pray with me. The story, Lord, is not really a good